Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Jim Huckaday Show, The Abiding Presence. And we are here live at the ranch. And we're broadcasting live on this. It is May 9th, and hopefully we haven't lost too many of you, even though it's been about 27 minutes. But you know what's real interesting about this is we have our own radio studio now, Jim and I do, and we're going to be talking to you live this evening. We had some technical trouble with software. I hate machines. I work with horses. But you know, what will be real interesting is to see how many people log on and listen to us, isn't it, Jim?
Yeah, it'll be great. And this is a trial run here tonight for many weeks to come and months to come where we're really going to have some great shows, especially just with the atmosphere being so
conducive. I think so. I think it'll be real, real interesting to see just how this goes. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're here and we are doing radio. Now, the interesting thing about doing radio is that we're live and we're here in the studio. You know, Jim, you were here this morning and we were talking about questions and answers. And exactly what grace is and what does grace mean to people, because what's real interesting about this is that everybody wants answers. You want answers. You deserve answers. You require answers. You want them. And the church, well, the buildings, not the churches, the buildings, they give you answers. If you come here and you do this, if you pray, if you follow us, if you participate on this level, if you do this, it will all be okay. That all you have to do is help us to support us, and it will work. And and everybody wants answers. I mean, be a good person. You're right. A sinner. You're with God. You do this. But right. You know, grace isn't an answer. Grace is a question. Because your conviction in relationship with God isn't an answer. It's actually the question. It's the foundation. You know, people say, what am I going to eat? Where am I going to live? How am I going to survive? What's going to happen with my life? And really, those are answers. They want answers. But the Bible says, don't worry about the answers.
Right.
Worry about the question, because you don't have to worry about where you are.
Right.
And what you're doing. And so, help us out here.
Well, you know, when you just made that comment, I'll hold off on one verse I was going to give you immediately and go over to Matthew here and look at what Jesus said. A verse that we've used many times before. But of course, it comes right here with, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added to you. But before Jesus made another comment here that was really, really good. And he talked about the birds of the air. He talked about the lilies of the field being clothed, and how our Father, verse 26, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And then he goes on to say, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to its stature? And so why do you worry about clothing? Verse 28, consider the lilies of the field. And then, of course, the birds of the air. And down here in verse 34, and I skipped around a little bit, but it says, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And so I think what the Lord is endeavoring to help us here, you don't have to worry about tomorrow because answers have already been provided. And yet within each day, sufficient are the troubles. In other words, there's all kinds of opportunity in every day to follow a path or to be on a journey. You know, the psalmist said, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and the Lord delights in his way. In other words, every individual has a journey through life. Paul made the comment, he said that he finished his course and the ministry. So not only did he finish his ministry, but Paul had his own course, a journey. And it was important for Paul to finish both, not only be diligent with ministry, but also his life. So on the journey, there is a need for us to have answers, but when people put their focus on answers and not on the journey, you'll find yourself actually giving more tangibility to what you don't have than what you do. And I know that probably sounds crazy, but I can eliminate that by coming back to some other scriptures that will really help you. BJ, one thing I want you to get involved with here right now, because I think this is going to help people, that maybe they may be thinking, okay, what do you mean questions and then answers? Couldn't we look at this almost like a mathematical problem? You have an answer, but then you also have a 2 + 2, which is how you get to the answer.
I'm a big fan of mathematics, and I'm a very analytical, logical person. And a lot of times people think that I'm kind of cold-hearted or that I'm absolute. You know, I mean, I've had a lot of people say, you're as bad as Mr. Spock from, you know, from Star Trek. You know, you have no feeling. Well, okay, let's say that four. Four is the number. Everybody says four. I pray to four. I'm a four person. I go to a four church. I've got the number four on the back of my car. I pray to four. Four is grace. Four is what I'm striving for. I want to go to heaven so I can be with four. I'm made in four's image. Four, four, four. Okay, folks, you get the idea. But I want you to think about something. What do you really know? What can you base your love for four on? How can you use four? Because all you have is an answer. And in Scripture it says, don't worry about answers, because all your sins have been forgiven. Ask and you shall receive. And I take care of everything, and you're made in my image, and you're going to do greater works than me. What about that is answers? That's all about what is the question. Because if you're a number four person, if someone says, well, how did you get to number four? Well, I don't know. We never cover that. We just talk about how wonderful it is.
Yeah, that's the point. Yeah.
To be a four.
Yes.
Well, what do you mean? Well, I've been baptized. I'm a four. I go to communion. I'm a four. My whole families are fours. We've been fours our whole lives. And we go to the four church in our town.
Right.
And we've got 5,000 fours in our four church. But how did you get to be a four? What do you know about being a four? Well, those are questions. I don't know anything about questions. I'm about answers because I'm a four. I want you to think about this, folks. There's a lot of ways to get to four. There's three. 2 + 2
yeah.
is four. 3 + 1 is four. 1 + 3 is four. How about this? 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 is four. How about this? 5 - 1 is four. There's literally hundreds of mathematical questions that the answer is going to be
right.
The number four.
Right.
So, let's turn this over. You're a Christian. You're a child of God. You believe in Christ. You're one of his children. So, you are a four. You are a Christian. But what does that mean? What do you use with grace? Do you understand grace? Do you understand what's happening? Maybe. Maybe not. Because you focus on the answer. Do you like this?
Yeah.
I mean, do you think I'm confusing people here?
Well, no, I want to bring in some scripture that'll help
you. Well, you got to do something. This is your show.
Well, because it's important for us, if you'll think about this. Now, you could go to a Bible school and have teachers get up and talk about the answers, and yet there's never really any talk about how to get to the answers.
No, that's my point.
And that is the point, because that's really how people in most places that where they worship, that's exactly kind of what happens. We're all excited. In fact, we'll run around the room because we are in Christ. We'll run around the room because we're righteous in Christ. We know we've got faith in the Lord. Let's run and let's shout. We know we've got the victory. We are healed. And okay, and by the time the service is over, the same people that were crippled, the same people that are blind, the same people that are hurting, the same people that are messed up, the same people, unless somebody gives them $100 bills that can't pay their bill, they leave the church excited, but there's no answers. There's no results. And yet all we did all service long was praise God over answers. So what we're talking about here, folks, is an assessment where you begin to make assessments. Or in other words, you begin to look at the answers that we know are ours because of grace, and you begin to put the equation together. On one hand, you could say, I don't need an equation. I've got an answer. On the other hand, you can say, but without the equation, do you have the answer working in your life? Now, BJ, doesn't that make a little bit better sense?
Oh, it makes a world of sense.
It's two differences that separate whether people actually experience God and His grace or not.
I know you're being confused here. This is one of these radio shows that you're literally going to have to really listen to at least two or three times. Now, I want to take a moment here, and I want to give you a chance to digest this, and I want to tell you what's happened. We started the show about 27 minutes late, and the reason is because we're no longer in Tulsa. We've left the town of Tulsa. We're not even at a radio station. We're here at the ranch. And ladies and gentlemen, as you well know, horses do not tell time. And so we started 27 minutes late.
It's okay.
And it's not going to happen anymore, but you'll tune in. You're going to log in over the next week, and you'll listen to this show. And so we're going to give you a good show. The nice thing about being here at the ranch is we don't have to stop at an hour. We can go longer. We're going to be able to take some telephone calls in the weeks to come.
Right.
We've got a lot of exciting things. I just wanted to let you know where we are and why things are the way they are tonight. Now, let's get back on the topic here of we're talking about grace. And here's what it is, because I ask this all the time and people get very upset. I'll say, you're a Christian. Yes. You go to a building. They say, well, I get offended at the fact of you calling my church a building. It's a church. I've gone there for 20 years. I give them X amount of money. I tithe. I'm on the board. I do the car washes. I've done missionary work. You don't understand what that has done for my life. And I say, okay. And I'll say, what's wrong? Well, it's going to rain next week. I can tell. How can you tell? Well, because I have a bad knee. And whenever the weather changes, my knee hurts. Well, you're telling me that you've been going to this building for 20 years and your knee hurts when it rains? Why aren't you using grace? Well, what do you mean using grace? Why don't you use grace? Where is grace? Why is it elusive to you?
Right.
Because you're basically telling me that you're not healed and you've logged a lot of time and you've shoveled a lot of money and you've spent all this time really believing in your heart that you're with Christ.
Right.
And then they say, well, you're saying I'm not a Christian. No, that's not what I'm saying. Are you saved? Yes. Are you a Christian? Yes. But what are you doing with it?
Right.
Because you have a bucket full of answers.
Yes.
I'm going to a building. I'm holding hands. I'm praying. I'm Bible studying. I'm doing mission work. I'm donating money. I have a whole closet full of church clothes. I've been doing this my whole life, and so is my family, and we put a new roof on this church, and they tell me all these things, but yet they have never had a prayer answered.
Right.
And to them, somebody being healed is supernatural.
Right.
It's a miracle. It's far and few between. That's very strange to me, because there's nothing in Scripture or in doctrine or in the Bible that says any of this that even backs that up. It literally contradicts it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
help me out with the contradiction here so people can, you know, because, you know, they think I'm nuts anyways. And, you know, now that you're doing the show at the ranch, they're going to, you know, think, what are you doing, Jim?
Well,
you'll be shoveling stuff before we know it.
We will be shoveling. The evidence in Scripture, Jesus always went back to results. And he showed people, this is the evidence of my relationship with my Father, is exactly really what Jesus was saying constantly. I have a relationship with God. Look at the testimonies. Look at the results. Jesus would walk on the water, and the disciples were fearful. And he would say, it's just me. Guys, relax. What's he trying to tell them? He's saying, when you have a relationship with the Father, there's a lot of things that you can experience in life. Yet, the times that even Jesus was in, and things have multiplied wow, way beyond that day where things are so confusing and so distorted today. But even in that day, the people that fought with Jesus were the individuals that wanted to talk about doctrine, teachings, thoughts about God, but they didn't have any answers. Nothing was working in their lives. And these were the people that literally were irate, and these were the individuals who literally crucified Christ, because he brought all of his testimony right to the heart of what? His relationship with the Father. So you could say it like this: Jesus figured out the equation, and that's why he always experienced answers. Does this help a little bit? I think it should, because if I even look at a scripture here, and BJ and I were talking about this at the ranch, you know, about Abraham. And if I even look at Abraham here in Genesis chapter 22, 3 through 5. Abraham, you understand, had a child, Isaac. Abraham and Sarah did. And this child was given to them by God through the promise that came by God to Abraham when God gave them a covenant. And here in Genesis 22, 3 and 5, God told Abraham, I want you to get up and take your son up to a mountain that I will show you, and I want you to offer him on the altar as a sacrifice to me. Now, folks, Abraham had every reason to bring up questions of unbelief to God. But we're not talking about questions of unbelief. We're talking about figuring out equations that equal answers. So notice what it says about Abraham. It said in verse 3 to 5, so Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Wow. I can say it to you like this. Abraham figured it out. That's what we're talking about here tonight. It's very interesting. When I go to churches anymore, I use that phrase a lot. I'll say something like, okay, you've heard us talk about this before. I'll say something like this. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7, Adam and Eve had sinned. What's the first thing that they noticed? And everyone will say, well, they noticed they had a body because they were naked. Very good. So let's figure it out. And then all of a sudden people will start to think. Why? Because we've been trained to just listen to, well, Adam and Eve, they sinned and they knew that they were naked. Okay, let's go to the next verse. Well, no, don't go to the next verse. Figure it out. What is that starting to tell you? It tells you that Abraham and Adam mixed up. Adam and Eve, when they were in the garden before they sinned, it was more natural for them to experience their spirit than it was for them to be consumed or have to give attention to their body. Now we're starting to figure some things out. Folks, that's how you begin to walk in the Spirit, when you begin to really figure it out. Questions or equations will give you answers. This is a really interesting thought. I'm going to continue to stay with me. Hebrews 11, 17 to 19. Listen to what this says. By faith, Abraham. See, it's talking about Abraham's got a result. Okay, but look at how he got the result. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Now notice verse 19. This is what Abraham did, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. That tells you what Abraham was doing for those 3 days while they were on that journey, while he was getting ready to sacrifice Isaac. He was figuring it out. He was putting 2 + 2 together. And then he put 1 + 3 together. And then he put 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 together. And each time he did, he came up with 4. That's the reason why he had the miracle, the supernatural. What we look at today and say that is so special, Abraham figured it out so he could have it day after day, moment after moment, all the time. And this is what we want to get to. It's relationship with God that causes us to experience grace all the time. That's why you hear BJ make these comments. See, he's coming from an unchurch-cultured world where BJ's looking at things through different eyes than we have been in the church. We've become so accustomed in the church to having doctrines and being excited about them, to running around the church over an answer. Glory to God, you can be healed. And we run around the church, hallelujah, and we praise the Lord, and we dance, and we get excited. And in one sense, there's nothing wrong with that. But on the other hand, ask the question, well, how does that work? And you running around the church, how is that working for you? Does that mean you're healed? And for some, it may mean they're healed because they couldn't run. So they decided, if I'm healed, then I'm going to run. But they're figuring things out. And this is the point. Notice what Abraham did, and then I'm going to get BJ to come in here and comment about it, because it's really coming together, folks. If you'll stay with us, you'll get what we're saying. It says, Abraham concluded that God was able to raise Isaac up, even from the dead, which he also received him in a figurative sense. That says, while he was walking to the mountain, Abraham was figuring it out. He was saying, listen, he's going to have to raise up Isaac, because Isaac's the one who he prophesied about and who he helped us to conceive. So the only thing that can happen is after I do what God tells me to do, God's going to raise him up. Look at what he did. He put these things together and the answer took care of itself. BJ?
All right. As we're focusing on this and we're concentrating, I don't want you to focus. I don't want you to concentrate. You really need to take a deep breath. Because one of the things that I've noticed about people is the more you love God, the more you want Christ in your life, the more difficult and the more effort you put into it. And you're basically working too hard.
Yes.
You really need to just sit in a chair. And you need to take a deep breath and you need to do a self-assessment of how your relationship is with him. Because you don't have to pray any harder. You really don't have to read any more scripture. You don't need to go to a building or a church because you have the tools. You're collecting tools.
Yes.
And you're think about this. Okay. You're buying lumber, you're buying nails, you're buying carpeting, you're buying windows, you're buying bags of concrete, and you're buying toilets and cabinets, and you're buying furniture, and they just keep delivering it, and you're reading books on home improvement and how to build a house and how to dig a basement, and you've got heavy equipment and you have all this thing and you just keep working and buying and investing, and all of a sudden someone comes along and they go, what is all this? And you go, this is my home. I'm building my own home.
Yes.
And they go, well, where is it? Because all I see is a lumber yard. And a major appliance store and a heavy construction equipment rental yard. I see all kinds of things. But when are you going to break ground? When are you going to start nailing wood to nail to hammer? When are you going to construct something? And all of a sudden they say, well, you don't understand. I'm laying up. I'm building. I'm storing. I'm going to do it. Well, that's what you're doing. You're ignoring the grace that you have.
Yeah.
You're ignoring the grace that you were born with. You're ignoring the ability that all your sins have been forgiven. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to go anywhere. It's there.
Yes.
All you have to do is relax and accept it. Because think about something. If someone commits heinous crimes and they're in prison, and while they're in prison for 20 years, they're on death row, and they do all kinds of bad things in prison, And all of a sudden, it's the day before they're sentenced to death. And they're taken down. What do you want for a last meal? And they say, I'm not hungry. But for the last 20 years, I've been reading the King James Version of the Bible. I've accepted who I am. God is my Savior. I would really like to I'd like to have a minister, a priest, a rabbi, somebody come and pray with me. Well, what have they done? They haven't been baptized. They've never been to a church or a building. They haven't belonged to a prayer group. They haven't done anything but just be a murderer waiting on death row. But yet, they're going to heaven. They made it because they did a simple thing. They changed. They repented. They went in a different direction. Most of you don't even need to change direction. You're there.
Right.
You're just not using it.
Right.
I don't know if it's that you don't see it. I don't know if you think that you don't deserve it or that you have to work harder or it escapes you. All of those things, by the way, are wrong. You don't have to deserve it because you don't deserve gifts. You're given them.
Yes, given them.
And it is a gift. It's a gift from God.
Yes.
That's what it's called.
Yes.
You don't have to work for grace. Grace works for you.
Yeah, it does. And you know, just the example that you gave kind of just stirred me up in some of these areas too to say this. We work way too hard at trying to get God to do something for us.
Yes.
And folks, if grace is the dispensation we're living in, and that is the working of the Holy Spirit, then you need the assessment. Figuring it out really is, it's not a striving. It's really a relaxing and beginning to say, if the spirit realm and everything about grace is for me, and this earthly realm is really against me, you sit there and you begin to say, well, how am I attached to the world? And in what way is that pulling me away from grace? It's really very simple, because in the church world, what we've tried to do is we try to get everybody to just concentrate so hard on the end results. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Concentrate so hard on your righteous. Concentrate so hard on your holy. But the fact is, you are righteous. And the fact is, you are holy. You don't have to concentrate on that to make it happen. You don't have to concentrate on that to make it become something. It already is. Simply turning away from things that are distracting you is the exact way that you come face to face with the things and the experiences that actually are staring you in the face. And this is why I like what Abraham did. He had God told him, this is what I want you to do. Abraham began to figure it out. If God's told me this, and in the past he already told me this son shall be the heir of multitudes of nations, then God's going to have to raise him up after I kill him.
That's right.
That's all there is to it. What did he do? He figured out 2 plus 2 equals 4. Whether to Abraham it was 1 plus 1 plus 1, BJ, if it was 3 plus 1 or if it was 5 minus 1, it didn't matter. It came to 4.
Because it was about the question.
It was about the question. It was about the equation. That was his journey.
Right. You know, folks, what we're going to do right now is I want you to take a moment and I want you to think about what Jim has said. And I want to let you know that when you log on and you listen to this broadcast later this evening or tomorrow, that we've made some changes. We did have some technical problems and we started 27 minutes late, but don't worry. We're at the ranch now. We figured we talk all the time. This is where we should do the show.
Yeah.
This is where it's going to take place. If you notice, we've got music in the middle of the show, which we've never had before.
Yeah.
And we're going to be making some nice changes and we're going to be making some improvements. And so we just thought that since people talk about the ranch, they talk about Jim going out to BJ's place and how we're in the country, and we've got a dog in the studio. My dog is here. We've got horses. We're literally doing the show in a metal building, otherwise known as a barn. And, well, Jesus was born in a manger.
In a manger. We're so in good company.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, we talk about stuff a lot. That, trust me, right now we could give you some. It's right outside the door. There's stuff. We're surrounded by it. But the point being is that so many of you listen to the show when it's not live. And we're going to extend the show a little bit. We're not going to be so worried about time constraints. And just because we started 27 minutes late doesn't mean that you're not going to get at least 60 minutes of Jim's message, and we're going to help you. And we just want to let you know to read the letters. You can send us emails. We've got a P.O. box. If there's anything that you want to offer, that you information, emails, we will use those. And so we just wanted to let you know that the Abiding Present, Jim Huckaday's internet radio show, is growing, and it's growing to help you to get better acquainted with things. Yes. That's why I always say that we'd like you to listen to the show more than just one time. And you know, now that you've thought about that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get going back here what we're talking about. Because if you want to know what the goal isn't being saved. You're saved. The goal isn't that your sins are forgiven because they have been. Your goal really should be, what can I do with grace? What can grace do for me? How can I really enjoy grace, appreciate grace, take advantage of grace? And we have a really nice testimony from a lady that talks about how they've been doing their own reassessment of their own belief in Christ. And I read this email to you before the show started.
Yeah, it was very good.
It came in. It's from a lady named Barbara. And I want you to read. I'm going to read this email. This is what's nice, because we're not under time, so we can do what we want as long as we want. And you know what? That's the way Christ likes it. All right, here's what it says. Jim and BJ. We caught Jim at a meeting in Minnesota a few weeks ago and left the meeting feeling like we were going to explode. The past few years, it seems like we've been deprogramming, purging our religious ideas. Think about that. Just think about that. Purging their religious ideas while embracing the message of grace.
Yes.
See, grace doesn't have anything to do with religion, does it, Jim?
No, not at all.
When we heard the message Jim preached, he not only confirmed what was in our hearts regarding grace, but he pushed the envelope in our minds as to how we should be walking on the earth. Wow. We have been using grace on everything since the meeting. On the weather, yes. A sunny sky opened up over my family's vacation area in the midst of cloud cover.
That's cool.
On a lost item, yes. After praying, my family immediately ran right into the item lost at the water park in a place they had already looked. On the lawnmower, yes. After watching my husband fuss with the mower for 20 minutes, I laid hands on it and it started. That's my favorite one.
Yeah.
The lawnmower was healed. on our business, yes.
That's good.
We have had so much new business come in that we are now receiving grace just to keep up.
Yes.
Okay, now think about what they're saying. You know, there are so many buildings. There are so many religious people. There are so many people that are drowning in doctrine. The fact that they think it was blasphemy that you laid hands on a lawnmower and prayed.
Right.
Well, obviously, Christ, see, folks, it isn't so much what you pray. We've proven on this show that it doesn't matter how you pray. It's about testifying. Think about this woman and her family, what they're doing. Not only do they know that grace can provide good weather, not only can grace find a lost item, not only can grace make the lawnmower work, not only can grace expand their business, but grace can make them healthy and give them energy to deal with the surge in their own self-employment. Well, the bottom line there is the wonderful testimony isn't the business, the lost item, or the weather, or the lawnmower. Those are the answers.
Yeah.
Those are the answers. Because the question there is, look what grace does. Grace does everything.
Right.
And grace will take care of everything, because that, Jim, can be backed up with Scripture.
Yeah, in fact, when you were reading, here's my impression when you were reading that.
I really like that, by the way.
My impression was they're swimming in grace. just meaning this. Their thoughts, look at, okay, they just sent a testimony of five things, and all very different things in which the grace of God can be acknowledged as the reason why there was success,
yes,
or answers.
Right.
The very fact that it wasn't just one area means they're expanding their thinking to say, God's grace is everywhere. And I know one of the things that I said when I was up there in Minnesota is God's grace is like breathing air. It's everywhere. We've talked
everywhere.
About that before.
There's a letter about it in the Letters and Theories.
There is.
People can read.
And this says to me that they're beginning to think like it's everywhere. Let's use it everywhere.
Yes.
Let's use it on every... You know, Chloe just sent me a text. You know, she's home. And my wife, Erin, is heading out to Florida tonight with a few of her girlfriends just to go to the beach for Mother's
right.
Day. And I'm Mr. Mom. And so Chloe just texts me and says, can I have a banana and some Nutella? Nutella is the chocolate. You know, it's kind of like a chocolate spread. And I said, sure. Go ahead. And it's like grace is like it can be used everywhere.
Well, you have literally, and we've talked about it on the show, grace loves to bale hay in Oklahoma.
Right. It loves to bale hay in Oklahoma.
Grace likes to heal horses' eyes in Oklahoma.
Yes.
Bring dead cats back to life, and not only bring a dead cat back to life, but put the organs back in because it had been spayed. And, well, why wouldn't grace do that?
Sure.
Because, see, man taking the reproductive organs out of a cat has nothing to do with grace. And when somebody's healed, they're all healed.
Yes.
So, of course, the cats, you know, all this is, and people say, well, I don't know. And then they read scripture and they go, well, yeah. Have you had somebody that's been completely healed that didn't come back and say, well, you know, I never told you about this, but that was fixed as well. That was healed too. They're just carpet bombed with grace.
Constantly.
Yeah.
People said all the time, I came up and got prayer for that growth. And the first thing that I did when I got home is I reached up and oh my goodness, my rotator cuff was just healed.
Yeah.
I wonder when that was healed. They'll say things like that all the time. And then even when we're, and you and I have talked about this, even some of the methods that we've been just working with people where we'll just talk to them for a few moments and God does the healing while we're talking.
Yeah.
And people will stay, oh my goodness, I don't have any more pain, or my body is functioning, and
yes,
all kinds of different things.
You know, you said one of the first things that you said that really caught my attention, and I thought, okay, either this guy's on the mark or this guy is like so full of stuff that, you know, I'm going to have to shovel it just to get out of the parking lot to my truck.
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't been saved. You know, I didn't even pay to go to your school. Someone else paid to get me there.
Right, you just got there.
I just got there, and I said, look, I'm not going to pay. And they says, well, I'll pay for you. And then if you like, and I says, well, if I like it, I'll pay you back.
Right.
And this was, you know, this was the first night. And you said, we're spirit beings. If there was a way that we could take our spirit away from our failing bodies that ache, that bleed, that have cancer, that have tumors, that have ulcers, that, I don't know, burp and pass gas when you eat cucumbers, whatever the case may be.
Right.
If we could separate that, we would see how healthy we are.
Yes.
Because it's a shell. And that shell is only for this world.
Yes.
And there's nothing good of this world.
Right.
And since the body is of this world, and we are made in God's image, well, that means that we are spirit beings.
Yes.
And that we give too much credit to the outside of the shell when really it's all about the yolk.
Yes, it is.
And the white that's inside the egg, correct?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's what I got from one of the first times I listened to you. And I thought, you know, well, maybe this guy isn't full of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and what was real interesting is that first meeting, do you remember you shook my hand and you said, I've never felt this before. You said there's something, this is what you said. Yeah. You said, I don't know what it is, but there is something special about you.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be here tonight.
Yeah.
And I thought, this guy's selling used cars. That's what he's doing. this guy's got a Buick with dents in it, and he wants me to buy him. And, you know, and look where we went. And look how true that was.
Yeah.
And then in retrospective, we find out that that several years ago, you and I had plans and we had dreams and goals.
Yes.
And now we can see that part of that was this.
Yeah, what's taking place right
what's
now.
What's taking place.
Yeah.
That's grace.
And that's the grace of God.
That's not worrying about four.
No.
That's looking at 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1, 3 plus 5 minus 1, 2 plus 2.
Yeah, folks, if you're not happy about your four, I mean, you got your focus on it, you know it's yours, but you're not happy about it. You're not seeing it. Well, then you need to go ahead and step back a moment and begin to assess, do a spiritual diagnostic, begin to just say, in what areas am I connected to the world? Because the only thing that could keep you and your spirit from experiencing everything in God is your body and your mind being attached to this world. So in what ways is your mind and body attached? It's kind of like I shared here, which is that situation I had where I was preaching. And I know this lady is a dear lady, but, you know, she's suffered a stroke. And she was sitting, you know, at the in the front there. And I was making an observation. I'm just sharing this. Not, you know, if she's listening, you know, she's a wonderful lady. And I'm trusting that she's getting what we're talking about. But here we were talking about how that, you know, well, let's go to the healing meeting tonight. Oh, honey, make sure I have my water bottle. I don't want to, you know, miss my water bottle. Well, why? Well, because if I don't have my water bottle, I will probably need to take some pain medication.
Right.
But Mama, it's a healing meeting. Oh, I know, honey, so just make sure. Well, I said just that, and she piped up right while I was speaking very loudly, and it was a small room, and said, oh, my God, I do that all the time. In fact, I take about 12 pills right in the middle of a service if I have to. And I looked at her, and I didn't try to be mean or anything, but I thought, well, okay, if you're going to open this up, then I'll just share a thought. And I said, well, maybe that has to do with some of the reason why you're in the situation you are. Right. And she said, well, my doctor would kill me if I didn't take that medication.
Well, yeah.
And I said to her, I said, well, he's kind of doing a good job.
Yeah.
And I didn't mean to be smart.
No.
But I was helping her to start to think of the question, BJ.
You know, there's one thing that we've never talked about. And you know what? Since we're at the ranch, you know, whenever you come to talk to me, we need to do it right here in this room.
Yeah.
I mean, the vibes in this room are amazing.
Good.
I mean, you know, I'm surprised these egg cartons are still looking like egg cartons because this room is like so full of grace, like a bucket full of water.
I'm looking. There's a couple that have come apart. We'll have to stick them back together.
Yeah. I know. I got a hot glue or tape or something. I don't know. Gum. But the point being, we need to do that, though. We need to talk in here all the time, just like we're on the show.
Yeah, that's good.
People really don't take it. We talked about this morning outside. And I said, I don't know if it's pride. I don't know if it's vanity. I don't know if it's just fear. I just don't know if it's they're maybe afraid or they don't really understand. But the majority of people never, never even come within a mile of grace. And they know Scripture.
Right.
And they literally live... They should get a trophy the way they live such a Christian life and the way they treat their fellow man. But yet they don't have grace.
Right.
And I said it to you. I said the overwhelming majority of the people are a better person than me. They've had a better life. They haven't done nearly the things that I've done. And the only reason that my prayers always work isn't because I still have a, you know, kind of a raspy attitude, and I'm still really not the nicest guy to be around. But the point being is that I know grace.
Yeah.
And I use grace. It isn't that see, someone said this the other day. They said, well, you're a lot closer to God than anybody I've ever met. And I said, how sad that is.
Yeah.
I said, how sad that you would think that. Because I'm not closer to God. I'm closer to grace. And they said, well, what's the difference? And I said, if you don't know the difference between what being closer to God and what being closer to grace is, that's why you want me to pray for you.
Yeah.
Because if you understand what you have, you'd never want to meet me or see me. You wouldn't have to. You'd take care of it yourself. Like these people, like Barbara that sent that, what would she gain by talking to me or being around me? Grace fixed her mower. Grace found something that was lost. Grace gave him a nice, clear sky, sunny day when everybody around him had a cloudy, rainy day.
Right.
Grace has given them more business. What would she benefit? Because there's nothing to benefit. It talks about in Scripture, when you pray, what do? Go in your room, close the door, and be alone. It's your relationship with Christ.
Right, right. I have a scripture here that
I hope
important.
You got something to back this up.
Yeah, well, you know, when you're talking about how we were sharing some things earlier, whether it's pride, what it is, that will cause people not to see themselves in where they're at to do the assessment. Well, think of it this way. If I'm trying so hard to get something that I have,
right,
I'm in the way.
Yes.
Now, I shared this probably a couple weeks ago, but I shared that I was praying just about a month and a half ago about some things, and the Lord kind of shocked me because he said, you know, you overestimate yourself. And I thought, I said out loud, I said, Lord, don't you mean underestimate? Because usually we do. We underestimate ourselves. We're afraid or we're timid to do something. And he said, no, you overestimate yourself. That's why you're still in the way. And BJ, how many times have we said the real key to the grace of God is getting yourself out of the way?
Yes.
So if you're working toward what you already have, you're in the way.
Yes.
So, all right, this is a great scripture. It's Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 that says, and of course I'll back up to 4 because it helps to read it. It says, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Notice that scripture emphasizes it's not by your works of righteousness which we have done.
Right.
And this is where people have to say, okay, I'm not experiencing what I should. So in what area am I in the way? And that's asking the question, BJ. That's how you start to figure it out.
Right. It's about they're doing too much when they don't have to. It's you know, I keep saying I'm going to do it, and one of these days I may do it. It's almost like a muffin. It's like the muffin theory I told you about yesterday when you were here. I said, if you've made muffins for years, you don't read the recipe anymore. You just make them.
Right.
You don't worry about they're going to turn out because you don't turn the oven. You turn the oven on. You don't turn it up to 500 degrees. You turn it to 350. You don't leave them in there for 4 hours. You leave them in there for 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You spray the cups. You put little paper cups in. You put eggs in. You don't substitute rocks for eggs. You've followed the recipe.
Right.
You've preheated the oven. There's no question in your mind that those muffins are going to turn out perfect every
right.
single time.
Right.
Because the only thing that could go wrong is if the eggs were rotten, if you left out an ingredient, if you ran out of gas or you ran out of propane or your electricity went off and the stove didn't work. But correlate making muffins to heaven, Christ, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, folks. Think about this. If grace is the muffin mix, and Jesus is the muffin pans and the muffin cups, and Christ is the oven, and they're absolute and they're never wrong, why would you worry about the outcome of your muffins?
Yeah.
Why would you not say, well, this is the guys. This is God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And plus grace, it's going to be just fine.
Yes.
You wouldn't even worry about it.
No. In fact,
and so why do you, so here's, I want to pose a question to you folks. Then why, if you accept the fact that if that works for muffins and you can apply this way, a little analogy, then why not just take a deep breath, listen to this show one more time, or maybe two, and think about this. Then how many times do you have to read Scripture? How many times should you pray? How many times do you really need to go to a building or even go to a church or to a prayer meeting? Because once you have it and you have the recipe and you follow the recipe, because basically what you folks are telling me with this all this stuff that you're doing and all this work is that you're buying eggs, you're buying blueberries, you're buying flour and sugar and starch, and you have a mile high stack of right. muffin pans, but you don't have any muffins.
Right. If someone saw you, what would they say? They say, oh, you're going to make some muffins, aren't you?
Yeah. When are you going to get around to it?
Right.
And you'd say, well, what do you mean? Because that's what organized religion has done.
Right.
It's turned it into a business. Because think about this, folks. A building can't exist if everybody's prayers are answered.
Right.
If everybody knows how to use grace, the real testimony isn't getting together. The real testimony is to go out and help people use grace.
It's using grace. You know, when you were sharing about the muffins, the conviction, BJ, comes from the good recipe.
Yes.
The conviction comes from figuring it out, from asking the question, from doing the mathematical problem. Okay, you do the problem correct, and you come up with an answer. Now, your problem hasn't been graded yet. The teacher hasn't graded it. But how confident are you of that answer? Well, if you did the problem right, you're extremely confident.
Yes.
And when I look at Abraham, I'm going to come back to him for a second. He figured it out. On the way, he figured it out. Now, here's the cool part. He didn't have to work.
No.
He didn't have to do anything, but he figured out grace.
He didn't figure out the answer. He figured out the question.
That's exactly right.
He figured out. He knew. Think of it this way. Think of answers and questions and math. If this is confusing you, I'll make it easy to you. You are a ball on the pool table. You don't concern yourself about what pocket you're going to roll in or what side of the pool table you're going to bounce off of, because it really doesn't matter.
No.
Because those are answers. You're either going to go in the corner pocket or side pocket, or you're going to crash into another ball, or you're going to hit the side of the pool table, or you're just going to stay where you are, because you're going to stay where you are until something happens. Something has to initiate you. You either have to make contact. Another pool ball has to hit you,
right,
or the stick has to hit you for you to move. So really, where should your concern be? Because it doesn't matter if you're worried. You said, okay, I don't want to go in the corner pocket. I don't want to go in the corner pocket. Well, what if a ball hits you and you don't go in a pocket? You've wasted your time worrying about something that isn't going to happen. What should you focus on? Am I going to get hit by a ball, another ball, and go this direction? Am I going to get hit with the pull cue, the stick, and go this direction? Or is everybody going to leave me alone? Because that is the equation. Those are the questions to the answers as why you roll.
Right.
Is that better?
Right.
I mean, it might be easier for some people than talking about math. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, maybe it does. I think...
I don't want to confuse people, because this is so important.
Well, it's important because our focus gets off of something that grace has already performed for us, has already purchased for us.
Right.
And it brings it back to the simple, small decisions that we make that allows grace to work, because we're getting ourselves out of the way. Because, BJ, really, when you look at Abraham, you look at making your muffins, anything you look at, this is what we have to figure. All of it brings you to a conviction.
Yes.
And my traveling experience out there on the road, there are not many people that have a conviction. A lady told me a story down in Waco, Texas. I was just there this weekend. It was a great story because it had happened about 10 years ago when I was there. She had come up, and I faintly remember her. She had came up, and she had some people with her. And she was shaking real bad, and she wasn't able to really function. She might have even been in a chair. And she said, I have multiple sclerosis. And this is what I said, and this is the whole idea. It's the conviction behind it. I said, well, I've got that. Don't worry about that. And she just reminded me. She said, you looked at me and you said, oh, I've got that. And you laughed right in my face. And you said, don't even worry about that. Whether you engage and believe or not, I've got it. And she said, and then you slapped me on the top of the head. And she said, I got hot all over my body. She said, and I went out in the parking lot and I started laughing. And I turned to the people that brought me and said, what in the world is this? And they said, well, you're getting a little bit tipsy in the Holy Ghost. You're right. Laughing.
Yeah.
And she said, for 3 days, my skin turned red and I was hot. And she said, and then I went back to the doctor. They couldn't find multiple sclerosis. I've been healed ever since. But my point of giving that illustration, the conviction that was in me, we want people to have this same conviction. It comes from having a good recipe.
Faith and belief are saying that there is a God and that God can do something for me and I'm made in His image and all right. My sins are forgiven and ask and you shall receive and there's nothing good of this world. That's a combination of faith and hope. But until you put them into practice, that's conviction.
Yeah.
Faith and hope are the mom and dad. Their offspring, the child that really goes somewhere, is conviction.
Yeah.
Putting it to work.
Yes.
Because the real testimony, folks, is what do you do with grace?
Yeah.
I mean, does it really do you any good to sit in your house and clutch your Bible and pray if you never leave the house and enjoy grace and go out? I mean, think about this woman's testimony of the lawnmower and something lost and all the healings that we have and all the testimonies that we continue to gather of you that send emails and listen to Jim's ministry when he travels everywhere.
Well, you just said something about would you just sit in the house and not go out and enjoy grace?
Yeah.
All right. My mind is starting to think more these days like, well, figure that statement out. All right. Let's think about that for a moment. What would keep you in the house? There's no conviction that there's any reason for you to leave because you have no expectation that anything's going to be different.
Right.
And so you stay in the house. It's the conviction in your heart that this thing is done. It's over. It's finished. I have the answer. Grace will never let me down that makes you get out there. But that comes by asking the question. That comes by surveying the problem or by going over the recipe.
Right.
It should propel you to an action. And this is really our focus tonight. You could look at it like this and say, faith is an action. Faith is an action word. Faith has movement to it. It's not by our works of righteousness, but it's by what the Lord has done for us. This is what gives you such strong hope, faith, conviction, belief. It's what makes a person leave the house when you can hardly walk. And you know, normally, you couldn't make it to the end of the driveway, but you've already made a commitment. Come and pick me up. I'm going to work. Well, you got to walk all day at work. That's right.
Yeah.
But grace is for me. Well, yeah. What would make you do that? Well, I figured it out. What did you figure out? That I've been waiting for God to heal me sitting in the house. How can He heal me sitting in the house if He's already healed me? Why am I not back out at work? That is asking the question.
Yes.
And the question says, oh my goodness, I am in the way.
Yes.
So I'm getting my shoes on today. I've called work up and I've told them I'm working a full day. Put me down. Here I come.
Right.
Oh my goodness, what will happen? I'll tell you what will happen. Grace will be so excited, you'll feel like you've never had such a good day at work. Your feet weren't even tired. You can't even hardly believe it, but you made it through the whole day. That's what grace will do.
Yeah, and see, there's nothing about that that requires effort.
There's no effort at all.
There's no money involved.
No.
There's no $10 prayer offers. There's no
no oven mitts.
No revelation oven mitts. I like that one. Revelation oven mitts. Last Supper dinnerware. I like that one. I thought that was good. The 12 Apostles pool and patio set. You know, Dead Sea Salt steak knives. These are personal jokes that I always throw at Jim. I says, you know, Jim, we could finance things by selling Dead Sea Scroll steak knife sets and you know, yeah. John the Baptist salt and pepper shakers. You know, I says we could be like all those, you know, other people out
all
there.
All those other programs.
Yeah, we joke about it all the time and you know, it's obviously it's not gonna happen. You know, and I want you to think about something. When someone came to Jesus to be healed, this was something else we talked about this morning. When someone came to Jesus, they didn't linger.
No.
They didn't stay. They didn't feel an obligation, and there was no obligation inferred that once you're there, once I've helped you, you're hooked like a drug dealer. You got to keep coming back. It was just the opposite, because Jesus literally said, okay, you found me. You understand my Father. You've been healed. Now go. Leave. Go back to your life.
Yeah.
Tell people what you've seen. Enjoy your life. That's the real testimony of grace.
Yes.
Is to say, look what God has done for me.
It restores you, it fixes you, and it puts you right back in the ballgame.
Yeah, and he wasn't about a collection of groups.
Right.
He wasn't about, this is, you know, okay, my name's Jesus, and this is Jesus Town, and I want you to come to the Jesus building. No, he traveled. He went to the people.
Yeah.
He went to where they were. And if they sought him out, he waited.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, go on, go, you're done. Thanks for stopping by. You know, nice to see you. Have a good life.
Yeah.
Well, what is that? That's grace. You have it, use it, enough said.
Right, but there's your difference. Jesus connected people to grace.
Yeah.
Where most places that you go, again, it becomes more of the game. More of the going around in circles, but we never really experience the grace of God like we should. The testimony is right in what you said when you told somebody about grace. Are you using it? Well, what do you mean?
Yeah.
The whole idea they'd say, what do you mean, helps them to see. They accept grace as something that got them in to the store, but they don't see grace. They haven't figured out yet that they're, remember last week we talked about the shopping carts? They haven't figured out yet that their shopping cart being empty, there's something wrong.
Yes.
They haven't asked the questions.
Right.
What are they doing that rolled by me and there were cans falling off of that cart? It was so stacked so high. What are they doing that I'm not doing? But instead of that, BJ, the normal method is to go, oh my goodness, look at that person with that miracle, that supernatural. They're so special. Instead of asking the question, why do they have it and why is my cart empty?
Right.
I mean, ask somebody, pull that person over and say, what did you do to get all this? Well, it's available for you all the time. Oh, my goodness. Well, then why am I not having it? And that's what we're talking about tonight. You know, I'd really like to pray for the people right now. I think it'd be a good time as we're closing our show today.
Are we closing? We can go a couple more minutes. But, yeah, let's do a prayer. Let's get you some music up here and pray for people. I want to do. I've never asked you to pray before, but I would like you to pray on the topic of getting people to take a deep breath, to sit back and relax and really think about what we've talked about tonight.
Yeah.
Because I think there's just so many people out there that are trying so hard and they're so deserving of grace that I think it's tragic.
Yes.
I find it very disconcerting that these people don't have it. And so that's kind of the topic. And how you do it, well, you know, that's your job. You're the spiritual guy here.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and just use the scriptures that we have because they certainly say so much to us. And I'm coming over here to Colossians and chapter 1. And just listen to this right here. Paul said, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Father, I thank you tonight that you cause these people's minds to relax and to be at ease, where the peace of God comes and overshadows them, and they become immersed in that quiet confidence that the answer is done, the answer is finished, that all is for them and there's nothing against them, that when God and grace are there, there's nothing to be concerned or worried about. Let it be settled in their heart as they realize they don't have to lean on the world, that the grace of God is more than enough. In Jesus' name, amen.
That was nice. I liked it. That was a good one. And, you know, if you're just logging on, and all through the broadcast, we continue to get more people logging on.
Oh, good.
I can just feel it because, you know, they're probably thinking, what are those two guys up to now?
Sure.
If you've just logged on in the last, say, 15 to 20 minutes or so, don't panic. The show streams 24 hours, 7 days a week. You'll be able to hear it for the next couple, until next Wednesday night, which is the 16th of May, because tonight is the 9th of May, 2012. We're doing the shows from the ranch. We decided that driving into town, people all the time talk, ask questions about the ranch. What do you guys... And so we decided, you know, really, we shouldn't be taking the anointing and the grace from the ranch. We should be bringing people to the ranch.
Yeah, yeah.
And so one of the reasons for doing the show here, building a station, building a studio, and doing it here, is because we want you to feel what we feel and what we're experiencing.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, I mean, think about it. We're on hundreds of acres of ranch land. We're in a metal building. We're surrounded by horses and barn cats and acres and acres and acres of green grass and wildlife, bobcats. There's coyotes howling and owls outside and we've got a
snakes and turtles.
Yeah, snakes and turtles. We got bugs, mosquitoes, fireflies, all those things. And we even have a Labrador retriever laying at our feet because... This should be a very relaxing time.
Yes.
Because it isn't about what you're wearing. You could be wearing comfortable clothes. You could have pajamas on. It isn't about what you're wearing. It isn't about even where you listen to the show. If it's in a cubicle in an office, if it's on one of those berry phones, strawberry, blueberry, boysenberry phones, whatever, or if you're listening on a laptop or a desktop, that's not what it's about.
Right.
And we want to take... the worldly equation out of this. And we want to bring you closer to nature because closer to nature is closer to Christ.
And yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think we've done that.
Yeah. Well, we can already tell the difference here in the studio.
I think so. I mean, you know, the stress level would have been unsurmountable if we would have started 20-something minutes late in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Right.
But you know, here, it went fine.
Oh, there's no problem.
No. I think we want you to enjoy that. We're coming to the end, and it was just a wonderful prayer, and the thing I like about the fact that the show streams 24/7 is because so that you can enjoy it. You know, the show's going to improve. We're going to have little longer shows because we'll just get on a subject.
Right.
Where we are going to be taking telephone calls.
Yeah.
You'll be able to just call up an 800 number for free and say hello. And, you know, we won't be able to get into long testimonies like we do the emails. Mm-hmm. It'll have to be short calls, but we want to hear your voices. And we want people to know that you're not alone, that there's many, many people out there that have the same hunger for grace as you do.
Yeah, that's awesome.
What do you think of the first show? What do you think?
Well, I'm relaxed. I'm having a good time.
It's a lot more comfortable chairs.
Yeah. I mean, I'm totally enjoying this, and I can just see that
it's going to get better.
It's just going to get so good and so nice, and folks are going to really appreciate this. And by all means, please take advantage of the emails and write us and let us know if you have questions and thoughts. And we'll do our very best to answer. And we just know that you've got all kinds of great things in store for yourselves as well.
Well, folks, okay. We're going to turn this live broadcast off. And then I'm going to make sure that I can upload it so that you can listen to the entire show. And hopefully it was being recorded. The machine says it was recording it.
And that was a problem. The machine, the software, that wasn't working for us properly. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your pets. And remember, you have it. Just try to use it.
Yes.
This has been The Abiding Presence with your host, Jim Huckaday. And we'll talk to you on the 16th of May. You're going to be in town, right?
I will be.
All right, because I can't do remotes yet.
Yeah, I'll be here.
There's a large learning curve here.
I understand.
So, you know, don't be bailing on me traveling. You're stuck in town for a while.
I'll be here.
All right. Well, good night, everybody. Take care of yourselves. And we want you to be very, very happy and good.